All right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the City Council Chambers of Portland City Government. We are 160 years old and one day today.
Are you using the royal we or?
Yeah, I feel that old.
We as a city, thank you. Parts of East Portland, though, are as new to the city. I think the most recent annexation was about 27 years ago. So parts of East Portland have only been, of the 160 years, part of Portland for 20-some years. So we're glad you're here. Carla, how's your lunch?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish. Saltzman. Leonard.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. Carla, can you please read the title to the item under consideration?
Item 136, Transmit East Portland Action Plan Annual Report.
Ms. LaSalle.
Okay. Well, good afternoon.
Wait, sorry.
Pardon?
I got the sequencing wrong. Please come up.
I get to tee it up.
Please come up. No, please come up. Please, you're okay. You all can stay there. Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Since I put the item on the agenda, I get to tee it up a little bit, but then you'll be taking it from there. Because, indeed, the East Portland Action Plan is a project funded by the entire council. I have the honor of managing some of the contracts through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, but the East Portland Action Plan is fiercely independent. And so we're going to have a good presentation today. As most people remember, the council on February 18th, 2009, resolved through the acceptance of a resolution that we adopted the East Portland Action Plan and put forward the action items and the funding to have the community figure out how to continue to work on the plan beyond the planning process. It's the only planning process in the city that I know of that there was been a commitment to ongoing follow-up and ongoing follow-through after a community plan. And so it's with great pleasure that I welcome everybody here today. Thank you for taking the time to come down to City Hall on a Thursday afternoon. And here to celebrate the second report. Second report? Yes.
Third
for annual report. Yes. And to welcome Katie Larcell, the co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan, who will then lead us through the presentations from the community. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. And I want to say good afternoon to all the commissioners, to Nick Fish and Amanda Fritz and Randy Leonard and Mayor Adams. And you've already said my name, Katie Larcell. And I am the co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan with Arlene Kimura, who couldn't be here today because of work commitments. What is the East Portland Action Plan? Well, Amanda said it very well. It began as a planning effort that this city put together along with Senator Merkley, Multnomah County, the Oregon Department of Transportation, TriMet, Metro, and the East Portland community. This council adopted the action plan in 2009 and also started the next stage, the implementation stage. The community members who were part of the original plan did not want to give up. We were excited to meet each other and be a part of a positive change in East Portland. And so we continued with city funding to implement the plan. We were charged to provide, and this is the actual charge, leadership and guidance to public agencies and other entities on how to strategically address community-identified issues and allocate resources to improve livability in East Portland. After I finish this intro, 19 people who are part of EPAP, either as members or as recipients of our grant programs, will speak after me. Only three of us were part of the original EPAP planning group. You will hear from many people who are part of subcommittees that focus on one area of interest. We have provided you a list of the EPAP committees and representatives, and we did that last week and the week before, too, when we met with you alone. The subcommittees meet regularly and tackle local problems. You will hear from people like Pei Ru Wong, who is here representing the Civic Engagement Subcommittee, which is a diverse group of people who want the best for their communities and families in their new American home. You will hear from Dan Kogan, our Economic Subcommittee representative, who oversees three Burgerville franchises in East Portland, and as a businessman, wants East Portland to thrive, and his business is to thrive. And you will hear from Frida Christopher, who co-chairs the Housing Subcommittee with Jean DeMaster. They chair together because they don't see housing the same way. Frida, a longtime David Douglas School Board member, worries about property tax exemptions in overcrowded schools. Jean, a housing advocate, wants to provide quality housing for low-income families. They are working together, thinking that their differences will create a stronger subcommittee that will generate better solutions. We also have people who represent us on budget committees and other advisory and decision-making bodies, people like David Hamston, who used his skills as a transportation planner to help 11 neighborhoods and four school districts collaborate to prioritize the best places for new sidewalks, and Tom Barnes, who was part of the Citizen Working Group for Powell Boulevard. Transportation planners envisioned a five-lane highway, but neighbors wanted something different. Through the process, they came up with a concept plan that has the potential to transform Powell Boulevard east of 205 into a neighborhood asset. Finally, you will hear from neighbors who had a good idea and were able to implement it because of the EPAP grant program. Neighbors like Natalia Sobolovskaya, who with the Russian-speaking network put on a successful workshop series on practical aspects of American life, such as how to vote and how to connect with the police. We have eight guiding principles that we follow at EPAP. They're in the structures document that we gave you. The second principle is build lasting community leadership and relationships as a means to laying the groundwork for successful implementation of the action plan. So we take community leadership seriously. All our grant recipients, our subcommittee members, and our special representatives are developing leadership skills. Developing leadership for EPAP folks involves testifying while nervous, with a little shake in the voice, but doing it anyway. It's putting on a workshop and finding out you didn't buy enough food because so many people came. It's asking young people what they want for their neighborhood and then astonishing them by giving them a small grant to do it. Developing local leadership is also learning how to build partnerships with entities big and small. I need to celebrate our good partner, ODOT. This spring, they will do $5.5 million worth of safety improvements on Powell Boulevard and Sandy Boulevard east of 205. This spring, they will invest, oh, wait a minute, I said that wrong, $10.9 million on Northeast Sandy and Southeast Powell. That's twice what I said. And they are finishing the third and final year of tree planting around the 205 multi-use path. This last year, we partnered with PDC on economic development, with PDOT on East Portland in Motion and Powell Boulevard, with Metro on flexible funds projects and tree planting, with TriMet on Max Action. We also have bi-monthly technical advisory committee meetings. Through our grant program and EPAP membership, we also partner with nonprofits, groups such as OPAL for environmental justice, Rosewood, Friends of Trees, Audubon, and the Latino Learning Community. Now I need to let others share with you what has been happening since the last time we presented to City Council. Mateo Lucio, on my elbow here, of EPAP Bike will follow me.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Mateo Lucio. I live in East Portland. Professionally, I am a freelance writer specializing in geospatial technologies. I am a policy intern with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and the chair of EPAP Bike, the Bicycling Subcommittee of the East Portland Action Plan. EPAP Bike was one of the first subcommittees established under EPAP and has been meeting every month for more than 2 years. At these meetings, East Portland bicycle activists discuss their concerns, share their hopes, strategize, and organize events. We organize monthly rides in the spring, summer, and fall that are fun and educational and make bicycling more visible in the community. EPAP Bike provides a way for city staff, particularly PBOT staff, to present its plans for improving biking in East Portland and receive community feedback. EPAP Bike played a key role in spurring the city to conduct a detailed and comprehensive study of how to improve active transportation in East Portland. It then helped city staff reach out to East Portland residents, listen to their concerns regarding transportation, and prioritize a series of pedestrian, bicycle, and access to transit projects that address some of the most serious needs, are supported by the East Portland community, and can be feasibly constructed in the next 5 years with identified funding resources. The study was published in September as East Portland in Motion, a 5-year implementation strategy for active transportation. It is known as the EPIM for short. I urge the council to adopt it soon. And now I pass on to David.
Hello, I'm David Hampston. I've been the East Portland representative to the city's Transportation Budget Advisory Committee since 2009. I'm here to tell you how our community got to the East Portland in Motion Active Transportation Infrastructure Implementation Strategy, a nice mouthful, also known as the EPIM, and how other communities throughout Portland can replicate our process. My role as a volunteer urban planner with EPAP is to articulate community inputs in a way that city bureaus can comprehend, while at the same time articulating city policy so neighborhoods can understand it. I also help to identify government resources and grants to pay for transportation improvements, such as PBOT funding and flex funds for Metro and ODOT, and help coordinate the means of getting those resources. East Portland, as you know, has many missing sidewalks, numerous dead ends and non-connecting streets, and very few community greenways or bike boulevards. In response, Portland built sidewalks along Northeast Gleason Street and along 82nd Avenue in 2009. While we appreciate these improvements, many neighborhoods and groups in East Portland wanted to be proactive in selecting what future projects were to be built and when. For example, EPAP Bike members Susan Dean, Jim Chassie, and Katie Larcel, who's just sitting over there, all of whom were previously part of the city's bike master plan process, help convince the city that the two highest priority routes in East Portland were the 130s and the East-West Market Mill Main, or 4M, route. Thanks to the efforts of Linda Bauer and Bonnie McKnight, the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee, a longstanding district coalition group, chose to be both pragmatic and strategic in its process in selecting sidewalk priority projects. They worked with me to get as many of the neighborhoods and school districts participating in the prioritization process as we could. I created and sent out master lists to each neighborhood and school district of all possible infill sidewalk locations in East Portland based upon PBOT criteria. I also included the top 8 greenway routes as previously prioritized by EPAP Bike. After the lists were compiled, the East Portland Land Use and Transportation Committee voted to have the top 2 items from each neighborhood and the top 4 items from each school district for a total of 30 items forwarded to PBOT as an equally ranked list of priority projects for East Portland. PBOT was then able to use these lists as vetted community input, allowing them to do additional community outreach. In conclusion, the lessons we learned are, first, the community needs to be very open, proactive, and transparent about setting a process and a list of priorities, and it needs to communicate regularly with PBOT staff. The community should aim to free up staff time and encourage PBOT to talk with underrepresented communities outside the neighborhood system. Second, the community needs to articulate solutions to their problems and issues and not just complain about them and expect the city to find a magical fix. By working with neighborhood associations, schools, and community groups, we were able to find many of the best and cheapest fixes for our transportation gaps. Finally, the community needs to be patient, pragmatic, and strategic in its efforts. While we could have advocated for a few expensive highway rebuilds, we instead pushed for smaller, more doable projects scattered in all 13 East Portland neighborhoods, thus spreading both the benefits of the new improvements and the goodwill from the neighborhoods towards the city. And now you will hear from Peru, Dan, and Frida, who will talk about other EPAP efforts.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having us here. I'm Peru Wang from ERCO. I also serve on the EPAP Civic Engagement Subcommittee. The purpose of this committee was to organize language and cultural-specific civic engagement workshops. The biggest accomplishment of this subcommittee was through the EPAP Civic Engagement grant process. $64,000 were granted to 8 organizations to conduct workshops in 10 different communities in their native languages. Those 10 communities include the Native American, Latino, Slavic, African American, Vietnamese, Oromo, Somali, Ethiopian, Tongan, and Zomi communities. The co-chair, Olivia Kilos, facilitated the Civic Engagement Subcommittee in identifying the goals and priorities for the coming year. Some of the priorities include use our monthly gatherings to share information and continue to build stronger relationship and collaboration among community leaders and organizations. Provide support to EPAP on the cultural and engagement issues. Build community communication strategies with grantees of EPAP Civic Engagement Special Grant Program, and we will continue to serve as a point of contact to work together and advocate on specific topics that is of concern to our communities. All those accomplishments were assisted and inspired by the dedication and commitment from our great leader, Gloria Wiggins. She was an inspiring leader to so many of us, and we will really miss her as we carry on this important work on this committee. Thank you very much for your time. Now I will pass on to Dan.
Thank you, Peru. Greeting Mayor Adams and members of the City Council. My name is Dan Kogan, and I represent the Burgervilles that are in East Portland. I'm a member of the EPAP Economic Development Subcommittee and the EPAP representative to the Mayor's Economic Development Cabinet. This year, with the support and commitment of the City's Portland Development Commission, our committee was able to commission an economic development assessment for the area within the EPAP boundary. And you all should have our current draft with the documents you've received. Although preliminary, this draft has already shown us several assets that go against the preconceived perception of this area, such as above-average high school graduation rates compared to the city as a whole. Also, and although still a target for improvement, the East Portland crime rate still falls below downtown and Northwest Portland. Now, with half of all the residential housing permitted being in East Portland since 1996, we know there's work to be done in partnership with the city to address the economic needs of this community. EPAP has actively supported the city's recent Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative, NPI. The full EPAP has submitted a letter of support for the 4 locations within the EPAP boundary. In addition to EPAP member Colleen, who convened the Park Rose NPI, our Economic Development Subcommittee has 3 members involved with steering the other locations, Jenny with Rosewood, Jean with Midway, and myself with 82nd and Division. And we are all encouraged by the recent approval of all 6 of those NPIs. EPAP has also financially supported the project with a $3,000 grant recommendation to the Midway NPI. It's been a very exciting year to see the start of new economic investment in East Portland, and I look forward to seeing the progress of building on this foundation. Thank you all for giving the attention that the East Portland communities deserve, and I'd like to pass it along to Frida with the Housing Subcommittee.
Good afternoon. My name is Frida Christopher, and I'm a long-term member of the David Douglas School Board, the David Douglas Educational Foundation, and the Gateway URAC. But today, I'm here to speak about as co-chair of the Housing Subcommittee for EPAP. Jean DeMasters, Director of Human Solutions, and I are the co-chairs of this newly formed committee. As Katie mentioned, we come from very different spectrums of this issue. I have been trying to bring to light the increase in tax-exempt property and the concentration of affordable housing in the David Douglas area for many years. And I've watched during my tenure as a school board member our free and reduced lunch program go from 39% to 79% district-wide, with some schools hitting close to 90% now. Whereas Jean, as Director of Human Solutions, has a passion for providing good quality housing for families in one of our neediest populations, and has worked tirelessly in this area. Human Solutions has built many affordable housing complex within East Portland. And on occasion, over the years, Human Solutions members or representatives and I have bucked heads regarding where it was being built. But we've come together to forge a common goal with other members of the community and city that we feel is a high priority issue. What is unique is that within two meetings, we reached a common ground with a goal that 100% of the committee can support. I would like to share this goal with you since it clearly states what we want in East Portland as it relates to housing. To find common ground in supporting a range of housing types in East Portland as a means to strengthening livable communities, encouraging healthy, complete, and stable neighborhoods, and promoting family wage jobs. A range of housing types is meant to include rental housing and home ownership, as well as housing for people at various income levels. In a few short months, or I should say, in a few short meetings, we have established that goal, our purpose, and prioritized the action items in East Portland Action Plan related to housing. Currently, we're in information gathering stage, because good recommendations and achievable goals cannot be reached without current quality data. We are already received information on zoning and the rental inspection programs currently available. We are now gathering information on tax abated and exempt property in East Portland as compared to the city as a whole, and what types of tax exempt property is there and what those programs mean. Plus, we're gathering information on how schools are funded and the impact of tax exemptions on their funding. It is important that since we all come from different levels of understanding and knowledge, that we be educated on the various issues and the impact that housing and how housing impacts all the other areas in the community. In March, we've invited some developers to share with our committee what is needed for them to build mixed-use and higher-end housing, and what keeps them from building it in East Portland. As you know, we're tackling a very complex issue that is not isolated with just housing, but involves our schools, infrastructure, transportation, community businesses, and so much more. We cannot work in isolation, and we hope to achieve our goal through collaboration with the city bureaus, businesses, community members, and other organizations and agencies. I want to thank you for your time. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Kim, Tom, and Marie.
Thank you.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor and Council members. My name is Kim Breckel, and I'm here representing Max Action. It's a subcommittee of the East Portland Action Plan. Max Action was awarded an EPAP grant last year. Our grant was for $524. That amount is going to become important at the end of this. Max Action hosted three litter cleanups along the Max. We did two graffiti trainings that included litter cleanups along the Max, and two neighborhood area litter cleanups. Every event averaged 20 volunteers, many from the surrounding neighborhoods. At our spring break event, we had 25 volunteers aging from 6 to 60 years old. They collected 1,620 pounds of mixed waste and 130 pounds of recycled material. That was just one of our cleanups. During our graffiti cleanup, we train 10 new graffiti volunteers on average. After every graffiti training, new volunteers were given a graffiti removal kit, and they volunteered to continue removing graffiti in their neighborhoods. Volunteers hosted several nights of positive presence at the 148th Street MAC station, and three MAC Action neighbors pick up litter continually along the MAC line weekly. MAC Action safety vests and grippers were purchased with the grant funds, and they have been utilized in all these events as well as events by Wilkes and Glenfair Neighborhood Association and many Gateway area cleanups. The vests and grippers are available through the East Portland Neighborhood Office for any event that needs visible and safe volunteers. Other contributors that we partnered with include Solve, LifeGate Baptist Church, a local Starbucks, Tom Barnes and the East Portland Graffiti Abatement Program, Jefferson Smith's Office, and Second Stories. We are currently partnering with TriMat to garner together an Adopt a Stop pilot program that we're pretty close to finalizing the documents. And the biggest bang for that $524 grant dollars is volunteer time. MAC Action volunteered 540 hours of volunteer time, estimated at $9,180 worth of monetary value and sweat equity in the neighborhoods and community. And now I'll pass to Tom.
Thank you, Kim. Hi, I'm Tom Barnes. I was a co-chair of the EPAP Powell Boulevard Subcommittee, and I'm a member of the Powell Boulevard Citizens Working Group. Last year, I spoke to City Council about the formation of our group and for our hopes of coming to an agreement with ODOT for improving Powell Boulevard from I-205 to the East City boundary. In that testimony, I stated our desire to have a three-lane improvement for Powell Boulevard with center turn lanes, bike lanes, sidewalks, improved bus stops, bioswales to lessen street flooding, and designated street crossings. This year, I'm pleased to tell you that the Citizens Working Group has come to an agreement with ODOT for just such a vision. Getting to this point was not easy or fun. We had several meetings with representatives from both ODOT and PBOT, which became quite intense on more than one occasion. With the assistance of both PBOT, EPAP, and others, we were able to reach this agreement with Oregon Department of Transportation to create a plan for Powell Boulevard that will not only meet future traffic needs for the motorists, but also address the needs of pedestrians, bicyclists, and the neighborhoods. Even though Powell Boulevard is considered a state roadway, it is truly a neighborhood street. Powell Boulevard goes through the heart of two neighborhoods and borders two other neighborhoods from I-205 to the city boundary. With the vision of Powell Boulevard that the Citizens Working Group has endorsed, we have been able to retain the look and feel of a city boulevard. In addition to the Powell Boulevard project, we are further encouraged that ODOT has planned to spend $5.5 million through the State Transportation Improvement Program to invest in a safety project on Outer Southeast Powell Boulevard between 122nd and 136th. While this is a great first step for improving Powell Boulevard, the work is far from over. The next step will be to ask City Council to endorse this project and then to find funding. Yes, we have made our first small step, but first steps must be taken. And I know we will have many more intense discussions ahead of us, and we will be in front of City Council many more times giving updates and asking for help. Because being that we are East Portlanders, we would like to see Powell Boulevard improved even further than what has been stated. In the future, we envision a Powell Boulevard as a main street with zoning changes that will encourage small shops and eateries to populate different areas of Powell Boulevard from I-205 East. We dream big in East Portland because most of the time, that's all we have is our dreams. We have very little money and very little infrastructure, but we have dreams and hardworking people that will not stop until those dreams come true. The EPAP is living proof of that. Thank you for your time and your support of East Portland and EPAP. I'm going to hand off to Murray.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Good afternoon. I'm Marie Manuel, and I co-chair the Youth Subcommittee of the East Portland Action Plan alongside Melissa Payne, who's actually in the audience but will not be speaking today. In my day job, I work with various youth in schools throughout East County, so I know that from the school districts alone, there is such great geographic dispersal from among these different groups of youth. but with 40% of students living in East Portland, their voice is one that cannot be missed, and that is what our group, East PDX Youth, is here to serve. We work to inform youth in East Portland about city and county policies and changes that affect them. We provide them with the support and resources they need to come together to truly figure out exactly what they want to create in their own community and the kinds of changes and improvements that they want to make. Because who better to support East Portland's fair share of resources than those who will be using them most? Currently, we have an amazing group of 10 diverse young people from David Douglas High School, and three of them are members of the youth subcommittee and are here today to speak on behalf of their experience as youth in East Portland and their involvement in the youth subcommittee. So speaking next will be Megan, Mary, and Nancy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great testimony. Hi, welcome. Glad you're here.
Hi, I'm Megan Beyer, a junior at David Douglas High School, and I joined the EPAP Youth Subcommittee in December, and we meet around 2 times a month, and since that time, we've mainly been focusing on how we can get youth involved with different after-school activities so that they're in positive environments with positive peers and adults. We kind of were thinking about maybe trying to start some sort of teen center. And we want to start out smaller and grow. And so we were thinking that we could have like a teen floating night where we like rent out a different center once a month. And also we were thinking about maybe starting a community garden around our school that students could be involved in. And we were hoping to get Park Rose, Fir Ridge, and Centennial involved in the EPAP Youth Subcommittee. So to talk more about the community garden, here's Mary.
Hi, I'm Mary. I'm from the East PDX Youth Subcommittee, and I'll be talking about the community garden. We are thinking about a short-term goal right now, which is a community garden at David Douglas, and we're applying for a grant at the Watershed Program. And Nancy will talk about the teen tonight, so I'll pass it on to Nancy.
Thank you. My name is Nancy Vasquez, and I started going to these meetings in December, just like Megan. I'm a senior at David Douglas High School, and right now what we were thinking about for floating teen nights was like just gathering a lot of people and like putting the word out to a lot of schools and people in our young people in our community to step up and come together and have like fun nights and just with like meeting other people and just learning what we can do besides school, you know, because we have school and then after school, what do we do with that, with homework and what else? We want to get back to the community and meet other people. And we have applied for the Youth Action Grant, so we can that can help us fund those teen nights. So hopefully we get that. And I'll pass to Chris and Laura. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great job.
Okay, that's a hard act to follow. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Chris Scarzello, the East District Liaison from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the token bureaucrat here today.
Me.
You're the anti-bureaucrat.
The anti-bureaucrat.
My bureau is currently working on a project that will come to you guys in the summer. And the project includes several topics of high importance to East Portland community. And it's called the Southeast 122nd Ave Rezone Project. The project is one that the EPAP advocated for during last year's budget process and has been a desire of the community for a long time. Project staff are working on recommendations for changes to home business regulations, residential design concepts to help with multifamily transition and compatibility issues, and proposed zone changes along 122nd Ave between Southeast Division and Southeast Foster. As you are likely aware, economic development and bringing jobs to East Portland is a key element of the EPAP. The focus on home businesses as a step to help enterprising individuals and families get a start by working out of their homes is an easy way the city can help grow locally owned businesses. You also likely have heard that new infill multifamily buildings are incompatible with existing single-family homes, especially in outer southeast areas where the single-family development style is suburban or semi-rural. Project staff are investigating various design solutions to help address compatibility and transition issues that can be easily incorporated into the building permit process with no extra review required of developers, much like the base zone design standards. Staff hope to keep momentum on the topic by incorporating the results into a citywide project. And by now, you are also aware that the south end of 122nd Avenue, roughly between Division and Foster, lacks neighborhood-serving businesses and access to fresh food and grocery stores. In fact, the Albertsons, located at Division and 122nd Ave, has closed, and most community members need to travel further north or east for groceries and many services. The main goal of the 122nd Ave rezone project is to determine the best location for additional commercial zoning and the ideal type of commercial zoning to fit the needs of the community. And as I said earlier, the project team will bring the project to City Council in early summer for your approval and adoption of zone changes. The zone changes that will result from the project represent one recommendation from the 122nd Ave pilot project completed in 2010, which itself was one recommendation from the East Portland Action Plan. The project is a very small example of how the city can help address community-identified issues as identified and listed in the East Portland Action Plan. This particular project is identified in the East Portland Action Plan under Action Item CM 1.1. Review commercial and mixed-use zoning throughout East Portland. Consider adding to deficient areas to provide neighborhood services. Consider access and walkability equitably throughout the area. The East Portland Action Plan notes indicate that this is a 20-minute neighborhood concept that could be considered as part of the Portland Plan. And guess what? The 20-minute neighborhood concept was part of the Portland Plan. But the small segment of 122nd Ave that is part of the 122nd Ave project is really just a starting point. There are so many other areas in East Portland that need the same level of attention. So we want to thank you again for your continued interest in East Portland. And now I'm going to turn it over to Laura, who will talk about the grant committee.
Hello, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you very much for having us here today. My name is Laura Wintergreen. I'm an advocate with the East Portland Action Plan, and I'm staff to the East Portland Grants Committee. Okay. The EPAP Grants Program is a mechanism that actively addresses the EPAP structure's guiding principles that were mentioned by Katie Larcel. These principles inform the group's operations. Work toward action plan implementation, build lasting leadership, develop partnerships, respect and value differences, ensure participation equitably, and prioritize underrepresented community involvement. EPAP grants have served as incentive to bring resource and partnership to East Portland. This past year, the 2011 grant awardees finalized their projects, leveraging over $350,000, an estimated 646%. While addressing the guiding principles. The $64,000 funded to 8 civic engagement grant awardees adhered to the following criteria: experience with cultural-specific underserved populations with language-appropriate communication, experience doing community involvement with culturally-specific populations, experience leading entry-level civic engagement training, community building leading to more community involvement, promotion of health and well-being of families, children, individuals, and communities, involvement between multiple partners. You'll see on the slides those that received those grants, and they are in process right now with a deadline of December 30th, 2012. Now we want to introduce some of the EPAP grant partners, most who have become leaders in directing the East Portland Action Plan implementation. Speaking next will be Claudia and Maria Luisa, and then they will have interpretation by Jessica.
Buenas tardes y gracias por su tiempo. Mi nombre es Claudia Carrillo y somos del grupo Comunidad Latina de Aprendizaje. Nuestro proyecto es Conexión Latina. Estamos sirviendo a la comunidad latina a involucrarse a este país por medio de talleres, información y educación. Este grupo está formado por 5 mujeres que están haciendo trabajo voluntario en las escuelas, viendo las necesidades de la gente. Nosotros empezamos hace 3 años para hablar cuándo podemos ayudar a la gente, a nuestra comunidad. La población hispana ha ido creciendo. También notamos que cuando sucede un problema, ya sea chico o grande, no saben a dónde ir o dónde recibir ayuda. Queremos que las familias sepan a dónde acudir para ayudar y sepan asimismo que tengan familias sanas e informadas. Nuestra meta es informarlos y darles herramientas para que puedan ayudarse a sí mismos y a los otros. Coordinamos talleres con la organización de IPAP. Somos miembros de una comunidad que servimos y esperamos que eso nos ayude a eliminar las barreras en nuestra comunidad. Es importante reconocer que la comunidad latina no hablamos inglés, sentimos muchas barreras, incluyendo el miedo a pedir información. El trabajo que hicimos en la escuela primaria Aventura, tuvimos 3 talleres de información. El primero fue el consulado mexicano, explicó sobre los recursos que ellos tienen y cómo pueden ayudar a las familias. El DHS, el Departamento de Servicios Humanos, nos dio a conocer las leyes que son aquí en Estados Unidos. El programa hispano, un representante del proyecto Única, nos habló sobre la violencia doméstica y el abuso sexual a la mujer. El principal de Ventura Park fue un gran soporte para nuestra organización, ya que era la primera vez que se daban esas clases de talleres en las escuelas. Nos dimos la información a 66 personas y tuvimos el cuidado de niño para 80. Tuvimos una cena muy rica, tuvimos regalos para las familias que asistieron. Algunas personas nos han preguntado que cuándo volveríamos a dar esos talleres. La escuela Chaver Elementary nos ha preguntado que cuándo podríamos traer también los talleres con ellos. Gracias.
Gracias.
All right. Jessica Will for the interpreting.
All right. My name is Jessica, and I'm going to interpret. Good afternoon, and thank you for your time. My name is Claudia Carrillo, and I'm with the Latino Learning Community, and the project is Conexión Latina. Our mission is to help the Latino community to get involved with this country through informational and educational workshops. This group is made up of 5 Latino women that are volunteering in the schools and seeing the needs of the people. 3 years ago, we started to talk about how we could help our community. The Hispanic population is growing. And we also saw that when a problem happens, be it big or small, people don't know what to do or where they can go to get help. We want for people and families to know where they can go to get help, and that they know that they can help themselves to have healthy and informed families. And our goal is to inform them and to give them tools so that they can help themselves and others. We put together workshops with the help of other organizations such as EPAP. We are members of the community in which we serve, and we hope that this helps to eliminate barriers in our community. It's important to recognize that the Latino community doesn't always speak English, and we feel a lot of barriers, including fear, upon asking for information. The work that we did at Ventura Elementary School consisted of 3 workshops. The Mexican consulate explained about the resources that they have in order to serve the community and how they can help the families. DHS, the Department of Human Services, let us know a little bit more about the laws of this country. And Programa Hispano, a representative from the UNICA project, came to talk about domestic violence and sexual abuse against women. The principal of Ventura Elementary School was a great support for our organization because this is the first time that these type of classes were given in the schools to the Latino community. We gave information to 66 people, and we provided childcare to 88. We had a delicious dinner, and we raffled off some small gifts to the families that came. Some people in Ventura had been telling us that they want more workshops, and Shaver Elementary School has asked us when we can bring these workshops and information to serve their families and parents. Thank you. And now I will pass to you, and I left my sheet down there.
Okay, let me find. Who are you passing to? You're passing to Natalia, Victor, and Jenny.
I'm passing to Natalia, Victor, and Jenny.
She just wanted to pass.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. That's excellent.
So, Natalia, Victor, and Jenny.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissions. My name is Natalia Sabalevskaya. I'm a member of Civic Engagement Subcommittee of East Portland Action Plan since 2009. I'm a community leader for Russian-speaking Slavic community in East Portland. We are happy that we received East Portland Action Plan grant for our crime prevention Begin at Home project for Russian-speaking community. We designed 6 crime prevention workshops for 15 people, but 20 people are actively participating, because crime prevention is something that my community wants to know more about. These workshops are covering the following topics: American criminal justice, type of crime, measure 11, communication with police, gang involvement prevention, organizing neighborhood watch, child abuse, healthy parent and kids relationship, domestic violence, and civic engagement. Our participants are very impressed by presenters, their expertise, and attention to all questions they ask. We received positive feedback from all participants. They all say they have never heard that valuable information before. They are asking when we will be doing more workshops on other topics and a repeat of this series for people they know. We and our participants really appreciate this grant opportunity that came true just because of East Portland Action Plan, and especially due to hard work of Lori Wintergreen, the East Portland Action Plan advocate, and Civic Engagement Subcommittee. Thank you for your time, and I pass to Vic. Victor.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, commissioners. My name is Victor Salinas, and I am a coordinator for Latino Network Leadership and Civic Engagement Program. Latino Network provides transformative opportunities, services, and advocacy for the education, leadership, and civic engagement of our youth, families, and communities. In June of 2011, we embarked on a project with East Portland Action Plan and centered on community building. Our goal was to involve Latinos in East Portland who had not yet been as actively involved in city planning and projects, and to build capacity for participating in lobbying, advocacy, board participation, and partnerships. At Latino Network, we facilitate the Leaders Academy, a year-round training program focused on community organizing, leadership development, civic engagement, and improving community-government relations. We partner with Metro on their opt-in panel to increase Latino public voice in decision-making. We collaborate with City on the Portland Plan to be sure that the needs of the next generation of Latinos are met. We hold training sessions in council chambers here in City Hall and in Multnomah County buildings to expose our community to the spaces where public policy and decisions are made. With the support we received from East Portland Action Plan and the City of Portland's Office of Neighborhood Involvement, we are increasing the capacity and public participation of Latinos living in Portland. Thank you, and I would like to pass to Jenny Glass.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Jenny Glass. I'm the Executive Director of the Rosewood Initiative and a member of the East Portland Action Plan Economic Development Subcommittee. The Rosewood Initiative is a community-based nonprofit working on neighborhood improvement in outer East Portland. Our work focuses on connecting and empowering community members through opportunities to work with one another and with partners on shared goals. We're building Rosewood Cafe as a neighborhood hub and are already using this space to hold activities like weekly youth nights, monthly public safety meetings, and Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative organizing meetings. EPAP supported my AmeriCorps community organizing position last year with the Centennial Neighborhood through a $2,800 grant. I was able to spend the year listening to this community and their strengths and concerns that would motivate them to work together. I became involved with the Rosewood Initiative, seeing it as an opportunity to connect neighbors with an immediate, tangible project, as well as long-term goals of safety and economic vitality. The challenges facing the Rosewood area are sometimes daunting. We have a dense population of low-income residents, a lagging commercial district, high crime, and few activities and resources for youth and families. We also have an amazing amount of diversity and energy within this community to make real long-term change. Decades of external factors have shaped Rosewood into what it is today. And we know that it will take dedication from the community and from our partners in EPAP, the City of Portland and Gresham, the Portland Police Bureau, and others to help turn this around. Building the Rosewood Cafe is empowering neighbors to improve their own community. Last year, dozens of local volunteers gave over 2,000 hours to activities and projects through the Rosewood Initiative. Leaders are emerging in the neighborhood and connecting to amazing work going on around the city, like Valerie Salazar, who recently became part of the city's gang outreach team. East Portland Action Plan has recognized our efforts and is supporting us with another $5,000 grant for 2012. Connections made through EPAP have been crucial in bringing attention to this struggling community. Through the Economic Development Subcommittee, we've connected Rosewood to East Portland and citywide economic strategies. In November of 2011, the City and Portland Development Commission proposed the Rosewood District to participate in the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative. We're currently taking action to organize and envision a healthy, prosperous Rosewood community in partnership with PDC. I'd like to thank the City of Portland for supporting East Portland Action Plan and the Rosewood Initiative in our work to bring much-needed resources to the edges of our city. And now I'm going to pass to Katie Larsfell.
Thank you all for your work.
Thank you very much.
So I'm the final speaker, and I just wanted to take the time and to thank you. Thank you, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners, for being strong supporters of the East Portland Action Plan. And I hope you see from our presentation the variety and intensity of effort in East Portland. I hope you know that we cannot do it without you. In my introduction, I listed our other partners, such as Metro and ODOT, TriMet, and Multnomah County, and we are grateful for them. But right now, I want to focus on the City of Portland and what you have done. First, the mayor and the council have supported the EPAP this past year with $280,000, which we have used for our advocate position, our operating budget, two grant programs, and the East Portland Economic Development Assessment. The Office of Neighborhood Involvement has provided the EPAP program with ongoing support, while the Water Bureau has literally sheltered us in a centrally located and beautiful hydro park.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
It's okay, there's no one here but us.
Carla, strike that from the minutes.
Although I think they're filming us. Okay. In addition, the city has been investing in East Portland, and the Bureau of Transportation produced the East Portland in Motion strategy and are implementing $8 million in pedestrian improvements, along with many other transportation improvements, including work on high crash corridors, LID outreach, and safe routes to school improvements. Under the guidance of Mayor Adams, the PDC has worked with the community to build neighborhood economic strategy and brought the Portland Prosperity Initiatives to four business districts in East Portland. Planning and sustainability is 122nd Avenue work changed from a first-stage pilot project to a much-needed rezoning pilot project. And the mayor partnered with Park Rose High School to develop a community school soccer field. Yay. The city established a citywide tree project, and the Bureau of Environmental Services also helped fund Friends of Trees plantings in East Portland, including along the I-205 multi-use path. The city established geographic mapping of the city budget. The Bureau of Development Services staffed the East Portland Enhanced Housing Inspector position to help maintain safe housing. The Powell Butte Reservoir Project, it's for the whole city, but Commissioner Leonard has ensured that the work is done respectfully and with an eye to enhancing this beautiful park. Thank you. Parks acquired the Wilkes Headwaters and access properties to access properties to Raymond Park. In other words, we needed to be able to get there. Commissioner Fish launched the E205 Parks Improvement effort to add much-needed amenities to East Portland Parks. Commissioner Saltzman worked with the Bureau of Environmental Services to implement the Johnson Creek Floodplain Restoration Project and various spring water wetlands restorations in a way that addresses the serious need and enhanced that area of the city. Portland Police partnered with Gresham Police to provide better service on the Gresham-Portland border. And Commissioner got my F's wrong there.
The mayor's the only one who did that.
Yeah, I'm sure people do that. Is leading the work to address equity in Portland, which will serve the East Portland community well. This is a lot, and we thank you. We hope that we can contribute to these projects as you have charged us by providing leadership and guidance when needed. We strive always to be good partners. And that concludes this East Portland Action Plans report.
What would you say the biggest lesson learned, a big lesson learned from your efforts thus far in how to get things actually done?
Oh, there's a lot of things, but I can only speak for myself, and I would urge anyone who wanted to come up and join me to do so. But one was the getting involved and all the different levels, and getting to know people in those agencies. I don't know if you heard the word partner, but we try and partner. That's what we do, and that doesn't mean that we're always, going along with everything. But when you're partnering with somebody, you're respectful. So yay, Tom's coming. So I think that was the lesson that I learned. What did you learn, Tom?
As far as my take is just purely with the Powell Boulevard, we ran into some roadblocks. We had some issues, and it was amazing the outreach to different areas of the government, different bureaus of the government, and employees of the government that came forward to help us negotiate and get past our roadblocks, so to speak. We don't want to use that with Powell Boulevard, but it's the networking that we were able to do, and the disappearance of lines, the dissolving of lines. There's always been this theory: oh, you can't go there. They won't. You have to stay within your little area of expertise or what you're working on. And by the time we were done with Powell Boulevard, we found that it was really easy to pick up the phone and call just about anybody we needed to. And they didn't slam down the phone. They didn't close the door. There's pretty much an open door policy with all of the city government. And that kind of was surprising, because we never realized that was truly there as far as I was concerned.
Thank you. That's what I took. Great answers.
I do want to say one more thing, is that just having that one staff person makes a huge difference. It is really hard to organize people who are all volunteering by yourselves. I just don't think you wouldn't be getting that return on investment that you're getting.
As that one staff person, I would say what I framed recently was, as when you have an employee, you want somebody who comes to you not with just a problem, but with an idea of the solution, and then who's ready to partner with you on adding value to that solution. And that's what I've seen the East Portland Action Plan members do. They look at the issues, they come with proposals for how to address those issues, and they come prepared to work in partnership to resolve those. And I've just been so impressed with the people I get to work with.
Well, are there comments from council?
Are we going to?
We're going to vote. But before we do that, is anyone else signed up? All right. Would you please call the roll? Please call the vote.
Fritz.
Thank you for all of your